how you imagine God, what he's like. Is he like William Blake painted? Is he someone remote, above the world, who designed it, measured it out, created it, but perhaps rather ignores it afterwards? Or is he an old man with a beard, surrounded by cherubs like Michelangelo depicted? Is he the Lord Almighty, the impression we get perhaps from the Old Testament, all-powerful, but somewhat remote? The picture of God that Jesus portrayed is of a loving Heavenly Father. Do you remember the story he told about the two sons? We sometimes call it the prodigal son. The father who ran to meet his rebellious son, the son who'd rejected him, and threw his arms around him and welcomed him back, like Charlie Mackesy portrayed him. There. A father who, in the same story, went out and pleaded with his older son, come on, come in and enjoy the party. This is the picture of God that Jesus portrayed. Jesus taught his disciples, didn't he? Pray like this, our Father in heaven. And many of us can be very thankful that we were blessed with a good father who loved us, gave us good things, and often had to make sacrifices to earn a living to provide for us. And if that wasn't your experience, well, I'm sorry, it's not always everybody's experience, is it? But Jesus portrayed God as a good father. And in our reading from the Sermon on the Mount that Lydia read to us earlier, Jesus uses the illustration of a good father who gives gifts to his children to say, look, God is like this, but much better. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And in our belonging service this year, this Sunday, we're focusing on this aspect of God and reminding ourselves that God is a loving Heavenly Father who loves to give good gifts to his children. I've read that you can catch monkeys in this way, a trap with a small hole and a bunch of peanuts inside. The monkey takes a fistful of peanuts, but then he can't get his fist back out of the hole. And because he's not very clever, he'd rather hang on to the nuts, even though this means he'll have to give up his freedom. And we might say, how stupid is that? But sometimes I suspect that we do exactly the same thing. We cling on to the unimportant things, and that often gets in the way of seeking the good gifts which God, our Heavenly Father, wants to give us. There's a good example of this buried deep in the Old Testament, King Amaziah. Does anybody know the story of King Amaziah? We could be excused for not knowing. The story is towards the end of 2 Chronicles. And if you've tried to read your way through the Bible, I guess most of us have got so bored with endless sort of lists and genealogies in 2 Chronicles, we rather give up and skip over. But it's a good story. Let me tell you the story of King Amaziah. You can read it later in 2 Chronicles 25. Amaziah was king of Judah. He was king at the time that the kingdoms of Judah and Israel had separated. And like many of the kings in the Old Testament, he started well, but then fell away and turned from God. And when he became king, the Edomites, who were the big tribe down to the southeast of Judah, were preparing for war against Judah. They were going to go into battle and overthrow Judah and King Amaziah. So Amaziah called up all the men of fighting age, and there are about 300,000 of them, 300,000 fighting men. And Amaziah thought about that, and he figured that might not be quite enough. The Edomites were big and strong and powerful. So what he did a deal with Israel to the north and hired another 100,000 men, 100,000 fighting men. And he paid 100 talents of silver for these mercenaries from Israel. And I worked that out. That's probably about 2 million quid. So it's a substantial sum of money. But then God sent a messenger to Amaziah. And the messenger said this: God doesn't want you to use these mercenaries. If you take them into battle with you, you'll lose. But if you go into battle without them, God will give you victory. And what do you think Amaziah's reaction was? I wonder what we would have said. Well, his reaction was, well, hang on a minute. What about all the money I've already paid for these guys? I'll have lost it all. And we might say, how stupid is that? Because what Amaziah really needed what was really important was victory over the Edomites, wasn't it? And God had promised that if he obeyed God and didn't use those soldiers, that he would have that victory. But all he can think about is the money that he's paid. Let's just read a few verses from there. But a man of God came to him, that's King Amaziah, and said, "Your Majesty, these troops from Israel must not march with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the people of Ephraim. Even if you go and fight courageously in battle, God will overthrow you before the enemy. For God has the power to help or to overthrow." And Amaziah asked the man of God, "But what about the 100 talents I paid for these Israelite troops? What about the money I paid?" And we read, the man of God replied, "The Lord can give you much more than that." God can give him the victory that he needs, and that is infinitely more valuable than the money he's paid out. The Lord can give you much more than that. If we read on, we'll see he makes the right choice and gets rid of the men, and God gives him victory over the Edomites. And I believe there's a lesson there for us. What are the things that we really need in life? What are the things that are important to us, are valuable? It's not winning the battles against the Edomites, is it? But it's the things that only God can give. It's the things like peace, love, to be part of a loving family. It's joy, to enjoy life. It's hope for the future. It's a satisfying life, life with a purpose. These aren't the things that we can achieve by our own efforts. They're gifts of God, things that God wants to give us, if only we will let him. But too often we're like the monkey, aren't we? We hang on to a few peanuts rather than letting God give us the things which will give us our freedom. We work hard, don't some of us, to achieve promotion in their work, and their work becomes their life, our status, even when it gets to the point of interfering with the time we can give to worshipping God or caring for others. We've invested in building a career, and we're reluctant to ever question that investment. Like Amaziah, we said, but what about what we've paid? The time we've invested? And God's answer, I think, is exactly the same. The Lord can give you much more than that. Or we devote ourselves to our house or our garden, making it as nice and attractive as it can be, or our pet hobby. And we find that we don't have time to meet with our fellow believers, or because of the cost we need to cut back on what we give to charities. The Lord can give you much more than that. Or we get involved in relationships and friendships which lead us away from God rather than towards God. And we know they're harmful, but we cling on to the peanuts, don't we? And ignore the gifts that God wants to give us. The Lord can give you much more than that. So I think it'd be good to examine ourselves at the start of 2023, or a couple of weeks after the start, and resolve not to cling on to the peanuts, the things that get in the way of our worship and our service, but to be open to the God, to the gifts that God has for us, the gifts that are much more valuable than those things that we try to achieve by our own little efforts. Those things in the which we know that in the end can never satisfy us. They're not the things that God gives. We're going to think a little bit later in our service about how we should use the gifts that God gives us. But before we do that, it's good to remember that our response to God's good gifts is not to think, well, how clever I am to have that gift, or how hard I've worked to deserve that. No, our only proper response is to say, thank you, because our Heavenly Father gives good gifts which we don't deserve. And he gives different gifts to different people. We're going to be thinking about the variety of God's gifts in a few minutes. But there are some gifts that he gives to all who trust in him. He gives himself in love by sending Jesus, God the Son, to rescue us and to redeem us and to be our Saviour. And he gives his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to live in us. These are gifts that he gives to all who trust in him.